Welcome, guys. Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have another terrific, fantastic, healthy day today, as always. And we're always bringing you guys the latest updates and topics that are going on here at healthpastors.com. So be sure to check them out. A lot of people asked me about that yesterday. The purple powder three-pack special. Purple powder pack.
PPP.
There you go. You guys remember that term from the... Princess Penelope. Yeah, that interesting time in 2020 where they tried to make everybody do that one thing with that one shot.
Shot? We're not talking about shots this morning.
No, we're talking about bang, bang.
Oh, yeah. It was that. Oh, they called it a kill shot. I remember.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning. I need a purple stick. I got to get up and get a purple
stick. Case.
Well, no, I've got to get some water first. I can't do them dry.
You're going to get water. Give me some water, too. I'm out.
Okay, I'll get you some water.
Give me some water.
I'll be right back.
I need a shake. We have any fit food over there? Are we out?
I think we got some GHI by you. Here's some GHI.
There you go.
What? Yeah, I found out with the GHI, those pesky spots you get on your hands, they kind of go away with the GHI. I love it.
Yeah, no, there's actually a I'll see if I can find it here in a second. It's a review on the products that actually go into detail on that at healthmasters.com. So be sure to check that out. And let me see what we got going on here. So also, to be sure to check out the podcast platform at healthmasters, or excuse me, at browershow.com. Check that out right now at healthmasters.com, and be sure to see all the different articles we have. As you could go in and click each article here. You got a screen. There we go. Sorry, my mouse died on me. They don't make mouses anymore that actually work that have batteries. Everything has these aborted sized chargers. I have like five different chargers in my bag to have to plug in all these different things with all these different sizes. It's a nightmare. And so my mouse is formerly dead today. You know me, I like my mouse. I do a lot of stuff with this mouse, and now I'm back onto the old school laptop style. Well, when it's stupid. I mean, you got all these coming in. They have, you got chargers for this size and this size and this size and this size. I'm like, dude.
You got to buy five times of the chargers.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what you have to do. And I got to, let me get my water real quick. I'm going to let you take it real quick. I'm going to go grab.
Take it?
Yeah, I got to
make a shake.
Yeah, make that real quick. Put it on him. Hold on.
All right. Good morning. This is what I get here when I get Austin water. He just walks off on me. It's awful. But that's all right. We can figure this out. Oh, by the way, I want to cover a couple of articles with you this morning real quick. Ivermectin, it basically went from a Nobel Prize discovery to get rid of parasites to a medical taboo. The public has handed a cartoon version of ivermectin. Its medical history tells a very different story. Now, what's interesting about this, it goes into detail on anti-cancer research with ivermectin. It says, reading this study prompted me to review the fascinating story of ivermectin, the wonder drug with marvelously wide range of bioactive properties. Increasingly, I wonder if the war on ivermectin, as Dr. Pierce Corey described, the ferocious smear campaign that was waged by government health agencies against the compound, was not only to suppress ivermectin for treatment of COVID, but also to sabotage general interest in how the cheap, off-label drug could be used against other maladies such as cancer. Now, we've talked about that in depth, so I'm not going to go into detail with it again. But what I found is interesting. Helga Clark years ago said that one of the primary causes of cancer was parasitic infestation because of the chemicals that are produced by the parasites that get into the body. I think she was right. And so now they're telling us that if you get rid of the parasites, you get rid of the cancer. I've got a neighbor two doors down. He was riddled with lung cancer. I mean, the guy was about to die. They put him on these anti-parasitical drugs, and now he's alive. Now, he's not doing real well. He looks awful, actually, but he is still alive. He hasn't died. And so I find that fascinating. I asked him. He said, well, the doctor was very, very progressive, and he said, I want to put you on these compounds that have been shown to kill cancer. And now they're like, we don't know why you're alive, because he had literally hundreds of spots on his lungs with lung cancer, which is like fatal 97% of the time, and he's still clicking. And he's still mean as crap, by the way. I just thought I'd mention that. He likes to walk around with a .45 on his hip. Yeah, he's like 80-something years old now with a .45 on his hip. I think he's waiting for somebody to shoot before he dies, Austin. What do you think?
That's what it sounds like to me. He's just kind of walking around waiting somebody to say when.
Say when.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Say when. What's your next story?
This is one here. I was covering that because I was trying to find it here. I was having issues with my computer for a second. I thought it was a big glitch.
Hand me that GHI.
On the website, and it wasn't. It was... Mayan, apparently. But on here, on the reviews, there's somebody that came down here. I saw it yesterday. This is a GHI review, and it said, basically, it worked really good on the
the liver spots, H spots.
The liver spots on here as well. Yeah. There's a lot of reviews. And this is why I love it when you guys leave me reviews on stuff. Because everybody else can get feedback.
We're not making any kind of medical claim here. I'm just telling you what it did for me.
No medical claims. I'm just telling you what everybody says on the product, what they like getting the results from it from. Goodbye, H spots. There it is. I've been taking this product for several months and love it. The age spots on my hands and face have faded, and some are totally gone. It also keeps me regular, which I'm thankful for. I missed the vanilla flavor. I mixed the vanilla flavor with collagen peptides and glutamine in the mixing cup. See, everybody likes my mixing cup except for him.
No, I like the mixing cup.
Yeah, it's
just except the one day that I was on the set and I shook it and had the wrong lid on it. It went everywhere.
I'm making a mess. So, anyways, that's why I wanted to cover those on here.
There you go. There you go. Now you got it. There you go. but that's interesting. Oh, by the way, Israel authorities now returning to refuse the massive trove of October the 7th videos when they were supposedly attacked. Yeah, that's when they told them to all stand down and let the hang gliders fly in with their little lawnmower motors.
Dang AI got doctored again.
Oh, yeah. Israeli citizens wonder why the state won't return October the 7th footage and confiscate it from them. The mother of Israeli victim says the authorities deleted the son of her video of her son. Others complain someone is hiding the videos. The Israel government is still holding massive trove of video documentation of the October 7th attack, captured by individuals and the communities caught up in the fighting. One bereaved parent even accused Israeli authorities of deleting a video. According to Israeli Channel 13, all the cameras, memory cards, and films that documented the quote were collected, but 2.5 years later, materials have not been returned to the communities. Doesn't this remind you of what happened with 9/11? Do you remember they went around every place, got all the videos, all the documentation, all the security videos, and everything about 9/11? And when they finally released the Pentagon through basically the Freedom of Information Act being hit by the quote-unquote airplane, there was no airplane. It looked like a missile hit the Pentagon. And so, I mean, there were no giant engines. There were no wing marks. There was nothing. So what they do is they have to hide the evidence that people collect because everybody's got iPhones now. Oh, well, look, I asked a guy. This will rattle you a little bit. I have a friend of mine who's a full-bird colonel in the military, and he was involved in New York on 9/11. He saw the planes. They flew right over his head. And I asked him, his name's Andy. I said, Andy, I got to ask you a question. I said, did you hear any engines? Now, you know, a jet flying low is going to have a lot of engine noise. He got real quiet. Didn't hear any engines. Now, think about that for a second. So what were we looking at? Were they planes or were they holograms? You know, Judy Wood said they could have been holograms. She's the one who wrote the book, Where Did the Towers Go? I've got the book right here. It's one of my reference texts. I recommend that you get this online. It's a free PDF, or you can order it from her directly. This book's unbelievable. Go into detail as far as the actual physics of what happened and where, in other words, why wasn't there enough debris in the rubble left when these things came down? Where did it go? She says it was from molecular disassociation, that the whole towers were microwaved from a space-based weapon platform and was coming apart. That's why people were diving out of the windows, because they were being cooked internally inside of the building. That's why they were diving out of the windows and committing suicide. Now, you know, that's her opinion. A lot of people feel the same way. But what did we really see on 9/11? Why was all the footage hidden? Why was the footage hidden? And why did we see that Boeing come through that building with that solid concrete, you know, set of stairs in the middle of it and elevator shafts, and the nose cone of the plane came out the other side? I saw the video that did that, that showed that. That nose cone's made out of aluminum. It ain't going to go through a steel concrete reinforced elevator shaft without getting disfigured and everything else. She said that she didn't believe that any planes even hit 9/11. She said they were all holographic images. But you can read your own book. You can read the book yourself and make your own decisions on that. But suddenly, all of these videos, Austin, of October of 2023 have disappeared. That is the justification they've had to go into all these other countries now and basically run them to rubble and raise all the cities and communities and take their D8s and D9s and D10s and push all the buildings and haul off all the debris. Oh, that's right. It has nothing to do with the Mediterranean seaside community, does it? Nah, none of that. What do you think, Oz?
Dude, I mean, Qatar... I mean, Tucker Carlson did an entire expose on Qatar and how Qatar had the formal writings of Benjamin Netanyahu through emails that Netanyahu was giving Qatar $32 million a month in cash every single month for Qatar to funnel it to Hamas individuals in Palestine so basically they could have an excuse to have somebody to go after. Remember, there always has to be a boogeyman. No matter what happens, there has to be the bad guy that somebody has to go after. That way they can always justify behavior. And it's not even just Israel. It's every single country that has to set something up in order to progress their new agenda that they're trying to push that does not have public support. The way you gather public support is you have to have everybody in a state of fear or panic. Once you put everybody in that state of fear or panic, people become much more compliant because they want to be protected if they're sheep. That's why it's so important that I tell people one of the most effective things you can do to stay strong and healthy is be able to be a formidable offense. Meaning you're not a victim. You're not walking around all hunched over, terrified that somebody might come out of a store and bonk you in the head and take your wallet because you're just so nervous all the time. Being able to support yourself, your family, your friends, your children, your loved ones, your country, your community is a very, very important thing, especially for males that are becoming adult age. This is one of the reasons why I'm so adamant about raising little Americans, boys and girls, teaching them the truth, teaching them biblical principles, and also teaching them combat skills. There is nothing worse, in my opinion, than a kid that turns 17, 18, 19 years old and has no understanding and no ability to even defend himself, much less anybody else, especially a male. That's embarrassing, guys, and that used to never happen here in the United States. Everybody grew up fighting when I was younger. You figure it out. Now, if I'll say your state, was it custom shop, really good custom shop, a good buddy of mine over there, and he's had a front desk guy working for him, doing really good in sales, getting commissions and getting salary, been paying him good. And the kid, he said the problem is, he goes, the kid's 20 years old, he's been late 70 days in the last 4 months.
He needs to be terminated.
And, well, no, I asked my buddy, the owner, I said, are we talking like 901, 902? He said, no, I'm talking like 930, 940. And he goes, I've written him up now multiple times. And he goes, the other day he came in like 20 minutes late. I took him back in the office. And I said, listen, I said, you're doing a good job here. You're doing good sales. But I have to have you on time. And he said, he got an attitude with me. Lunch. Left. Never came back. That was 2 weeks ago. No show, no call. Didn't he come pick up his last check for like $100? He called him up and said, I'm not coming back in.
I had a guy, his name was Jim. He used to work with us in sales. You don't remember
no.
him. And he worked for us in sales. And he's supposed to be at the office at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
He hits you up at 9:30, 10, 11, 11:30, 12, 1, 2. I mean, no, I'm not joking. And finally, he was great in sales. He did a great job for me. You know, that's back when we had Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. And I finally told him, I said, look, bud, I said, you're late again. I got to cut you loose. I said, I can't deal with this. I need you here in the office.
You have to have consistency.
No, it was every day. And finally, he showed up 3 hours late the next day. And I said, okay, we're done. And he got all mad. I said, why have – see, here's the problem. I'm going to fuss for just a second. Okay? If you train them up in the way they should go, they'll not depart it, is what the Bible says. Now, does that happen all the time? No, it does not happen all the time. We wish it happened all the time. We do. But it doesn't happen all the time. All you can do is the best you can do and train the kids how to do right, how to get up in the morning, how to do their chores, how to basically be productive, how to do good on school.
And that's why they have no discipline anymore, because they're not learning that.
No.
That's why they have such thin skin. You can't be late, bud. I have to have you on time. Tell me I'm on time. I'm not going to show up again. I talked to, when we were at a restaurant a few months back, I talked to a girl that was working there. She's probably in her 30s, server, making good money. And she goes, they want me to train this other kid. She said, I'm not training them. Manager said, what do you mean you're not training them? She goes, they won't be here longer than 3 days. She said, why? I said, I can just tell. Sure enough. She said, the first table they got, the people said, well, this meal's not really good. I need to send this back. Flipped out. Oh, my God. They raised their voice at me.
Virtue signaling.
They said they didn't like the meal. I had to go back. They looked at me angry like. And I started laughing. And I said, yeah. I said, it's because a bunch of, you know, softies is what the younger generations produce now.
Putty cats.
That's what they want to have. That's why they depict males in movies now as these total fag boys that can't even figure out how to throw a punch, yet the female's running at 110 pounds and knocks out all the 6'6" defense contractors in one swing. And the kid's going, oh, thank you for saving me, sweetheart. No, that's not reality. That's not normal.
You know, yesterday I spoke to a young lady, and she asked me, she goes, what is wrong with men today? What's wrong with our society?
They've been trained.
She's from Canada. She said, everybody's running around, you know, gay. They're all unbelievable. And I talked to another guy. He said he saw everybody running around in dresses. Dresses. A guy. He said, they're wearing dresses. And I'm like, they're transgender. I mean, they're like, Canada's gone down the hill like you can't believe in some of these real progressive cities. And you're asking yourself a question. Like, well, why has this happened? And I went into detail with her about all of it, with the Frankfurt School, World War I, World War II, what they did, how they did it. And I said, and now it's permeated into our culture. And she goes, yes. Wow. And she goes, I didn't expect it to. She didn't know I was going to go that kind of. I told her, are you ready for a detailed explanation?
Oh, gosh.
Because there is no simple answer to this. How is it that all you train these young boys to be all they need to be, right? and you give them, you get them a black belt in karate. Then they find out, you find out they're 21 years old. They tell you they're gay. And you ask yourself a question, how in the H-E double sticks did that happen? Sorry for the vernacular, but I'm just seeing her because you're a dad and that's not what your goal was. And you're a mom and that's not what your goal was for your 21-year-old male to tell you that they're gay. It's the pornography, number one. That's what it is. It's the porn. Number two, it's the cultural implications of all of this stuff. Kid says, well, I'm in fourth grade and one of the kids here has two daddies and he says he's gay and blah, 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 blah.
Or how about, oh, we're in fifth grade and Tommy says, oh, my name's now Susie. And the teacher goes, okay, we'll call Tommy Susie now because he's now a girl. Mm-hmm. Do you understand the level of disconnect that happens in a child's brain when you start exposing them to that on a regular basis?
At a young age.
At a young age.
Because remember, they're in a theta brainwave
exactly
state.
Exactly right. That's exactly what I say. They don't have concrete rational thought.
They don't have an off switch. They believe it.
They're going, oh, well, Tommy, my best friend that we go run around in the yard and play and go run around and do things, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, he now tells me he's a girl. Well, what if I'm a girl too? What if I'm a girl and he's a girl and we just didn't know that we're boys, we're girls? You set this level of confusion up and you plant these seeds.
Obama started this crap.
When he started the crap at the Target store, and they came in and said, no, listen, if a man wants to go in a woman's changing room, if a man wants to go in a woman's bathroom, it's his right if he identifies as a female. God, that opened up a whole door of perverts.
I got to tell you a funny story.
This is funny.
Okay. When I was at FSU, there was a gym to work out, and it was in Tully Gym, and it was in the men's locker room. It was all chain link off with barbed wire, not with barbed wire, with a chain link fence. No AC, no windows, nothing.
Old school.
I mean, I'm talking. Dungeon, you walk in there, it's 100 degrees, and the shower's going, the humidity's through the roof. As soon as you walk in, you're instantly wet with sweat. And you haven't even done anything. But I tell you what, you get some great workouts. Great workout. And all of a sudden, it was for guys only. Well, a bunch of the girls got mad. And they said,
we want to train there too.
We want to train there too. Now I'm not walking with God. I'm really kind of a heathen at that point in my life. And you know, and all of a sudden we go in there. Now remember, we're walking around naked going to the showers.
Well, it's a men's
gym, shower. Yeah. And all of a sudden we got these girls and they're just staring at us walking around naked. Now, mind you, I should even talk like this, but it was funny. I was a bodybuilder. I just won Mr. Tallahassee, right? I look great, so I thought to myself, huh, that's interesting. I got girls looking at me now. Well, that's great, you know. And I thought to myself, well, it's better than guys looking at me. I guess it's great. And the funny part about it is that all started way back when. The crazy part about it is this: now it's supposed to be normalized like that. And I have to admit, the girls did that for a few weeks, and all of a sudden they weren't there anymore. They said they had enough of it. Because I think too many guys were, well, you know. And so it was just crazy. And it was funny. But anyhow, Trump finally, I shouldn't have even gone to there. Trump finally admits aloud, we shouldn't have been in Iran.
Oh.
Trump may have delivered the most honest assessment of the Iran war yet entirely by accident. In an interview conducted not by a journalist but by his daughter-in-law on Fox News, Trump stumbled into a confession that cuts through the months of White House triumphalism, media cheerleading, and endless declarations of videos of victory. After boasting that the Iran's Navy was 100% gone, its Air Force 100% gone, and the United States had effectively defeated the country militarily, Trump casually admitted something extraordinary. We should not have been in Iran. There it was, buried beneath the bluster, the threats, the self-congratulation, and the truth opponents of the war have been shouting since the first bombs fell. The problem is that Trump wasn't offering a reckoning. He wasn't even acknowledging the thousands killed, the billions spent, the global economic destruction, the fuel prices through the roof, or the dangerous precedent of launching another war based on claims that Iran was racing towards nuclear weapons, which is untrue, despite years of intelligence assessment saying it's not even true. Instead, he delivered the admission while simultaneously threatened to finish it off militarily if negotiations fail. Yeah, I mean, wow, dude. You know, the one thing about a megalomaniac, because I mean, yesterday I had a good friend of mine, a show listener, her name's Trish, she was talking to me. She flew in from out west, and she's going to a Christian retreat kind of thing over in Tampa, and she wanted to come by and, you know, see the studio. I brought her out to the studio right here, and she went and sat on my chair, looked at the camera like, ha, I'm here. It was so cute. Great lady. And it was funny. I was starting to talk to her, and I started talking about a lot of these Christian pastors and how they're megalomaniacs. Now, don't you look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. And a lot of them are narcissists. And here's what I've learned about megalomaniac narcissistic personalities. They never, ever apologize. And if they ever did say something like that, I regret my slight transgression, however so deserved, something like that. It's with a smirk on their face and like, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to be a smart aleck on top of everything else. And that's the problem that you have with people like Donald Trump. You put a megalomaniac narcissist into the White House. Well, we should have been in Iran. Well, maybe you should pull out of Iran. How about that, Austin? How about we should say, hey, you know what? Let's leave these people alone. They did nothing else. They have no nuclear. Hey, Benjamin Netanyahu. Hey, I'm done. I'm out.
Go fight your own wars.
What do you mean you're out? You don't understand. I've got the Jeffrey Epstein files. You can't get out. I've got you. There's nothing you can do. I'm releasing photos and videos. And, you know, the other thing, too, I don't mean this in a right way or a bad way or whatever. I had a friend of mine who was a pastor. And before he became a pastor, he was kind of running around kind of wild. And one day he got basically not arrested, but charged with soliciting prostitution. You know, before he got saved, before he got in the church and all the rest. And all of a sudden, you know, his mom, who was basically part of the church before he got there, told him if she didn't give him more money, that she was going to release the fact that he had been charged for soliciting prostitution. Now, he's stressed out. And, you know, so you know what I told him to do? Just make a declaration to disclose it. He goes, what do you mean? I said, just tell everybody you were charged. Charges were dropped, and that was the end of it. Make it do it in a sermon to the whole church. And he goes, well, I don't want people will be upset. I said, no, they won't. It's 20 years ago. Who cares? Nobody cares. And he goes, oh, okay, I'm going to do it. He did it. He goes, well, nobody cared. Now my mom has no ammunition. If Trump came in and said, look, I've done some bad things with Jeffrey Epstein. I'm really ashamed of them. You know, and quite frankly, you know, I wish I'd never done that. And, you know, honestly, there's a lot of other people who are involved, and I think we need to all have a reckoning of what's happened here. Now, here's the problem with that. If some things were criminal offenses and some things were felonies and other things were really bad and some of this stuff has no statute of limitations, he can't admit to it.
Especially now, if it's a great bodily harm to another individual.
You need to straighten your hat up a little. Oh. Well, no. Or he could do this. Look, I got to release the Epstein files. You know, I'm giving myself a pardon for everything in the world since the beginning of time. And, you know, anybody else involved, we're pardoning them all. We're releasing the files, and I'm resigning as president of the United States.
Oh, he'd never do that.
But he won't do that because he's a megalomaniac narcissist. They can't.
Well, the thing about Iran that's also happened that a lot of people don't realize is that Trump got a taste of Venezuela and really got cocky with U.S. military. He realized what we have the ability to do in most cases. The problem with it was, and this is what happens, multiple people told me this, that basically have contacts with it. Israel lied completely to the United States. Once again, it's what they always do. But they came in with all this data, all this AI, all this theater, and said, listen, you can take Iran in 48 hours. It's going to be another Venezuela. You guys do this. We need your help. Back us on it. They can't have nuclear weapons, even though you know it's a lie. We need to take everything over with them. It's going to be really quick, really simple. You're going to be the great savior again like you were with Venezuela. The problem with it was a lot of the intel was not accurate. Iran had significant more infrastructure as far as with basic military tactics, like sending out $30,000 drones in front of all their...
And tunnels everywhere.
The drones are what messed up a lot of stuff over there because they basically launched some of those missiles, their Patriot defense missile systems. Their target acquisition was all yacked up because they'd have all these cheap drones in front of the missiles. They couldn't take everything out.
Buzz everywhere.
Everywhere. And so what happened was it screwed everything up. So we burnt through $100 billion in the last, 10 weeks going off all of this stuff. And now it's like, well, what are we going to do? You go scorched earth? You nuke Iran? Is that the only option you got left on here? Or you back out and basically show that this is a complete waste of time, money, death, and everything else?
I was back out and be done with it. Oh, by the way, you know, we talked about that the other day. I want to give him credit for credit, too. Thomas Massie. You know, Israel put $30 million against him in the primaries. Oh, yeah. And he was defeated. And we didn't cover this the other day. Thomas Massie got defeated.
I covered it shortly.
Well, we didn't go into detail. Thomas Massie, the most honest, this is by Chuck Baldwin. Thomas Massie, the most honest, principled, and courageous member of the U.S. House of Representatives, was defeated in the Republican primary. This is why the other girl left. She did not want to do it, Marjorie Greene.
Yep.
He was defeated by a blitzkrieg of cash to the tune of over $30 million, a record for most money ever spent in a congressional primary race, provided by the agents of foreign government and by a U.S. president who himself is an agent of a foreign government, according to Chuck Baldwin. And, of course, that foreign government is Israel. $30 million worth of lies, deceit, false accusations, character assassination, name-calling, and every form of trash-talking, filthy, scurrilous misrepresentation, and array of moral and ethnic garbage, and total lie, ever assembled on a single congressional primary race, and the people of the 4th Congressional District of Kentucky fell for it, unless it was hacked.
There you go.
Always remember that. And the stupidity, they stupidly elected another puppet congressman named Benjamin Netanyahu. Thomas Massie's defeat provides and proves that Israel still has the power, especially in the Republican Party, to buy elections. Defeating Massie was priority number one for Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. Why? It was the former Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene and Massie that were the most instrumental in forcing the release of the Epstein files.
Yep.
Okay. They've been made public so far. Greene was forced out of office by political pressure from Trump and the death threats made against her and her son by Trump's followers. Hence, all the vengeance of the Epstein class was focused on Thomas Massie. The result of Massie's defeat is that the entire Republican Party will become a palisade of political cover-up for the sexual predators and murderers whose names appear in the Epstein files. It means that there will be zero pressure on the GOP on Trump's personal attorney cover man and acting U.S. Attorney General Tom Blanche to release the remaining and no doubt most damaging files. Thomas Massie was the one man who had the character, the guts, and the political acumen to force the release of the rest of the files. I mean, it's unbelievable. We must now allow these evangelicals who basically have supported Trump to get away with calling themselves pro-life. They're not pro-life. They are willingly and enthusiastically complicit in mass murders of innocent human beings, including the little children, unborn babies, all over the Middle East, Northern Africa, and Africa, and Iran, especially in Gaza. They care no more for human life than Ted Bundy or John Dillinger. Murder is the hearts of their souls. And you know what's interesting about this stuff? She goes on to say, the morals of Donald Trump make Bill Gates look like St. Peter. Everything about Trump, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, scream immorality, lying, infidelity, dishonesty, hedonism, misogynism, racism, lust, greed, cruelty. He goes on and on. But see, this is great. You know, we've got a group of people out here. At least Chuck Baldwin is telling the truth, and at least I'm reading his information on our show today. Now you think, Donald Trump hadn't done everything bad. No, he hasn't. He put Robert Kennedy in the office. Well, that's a lot better than we had that other. What's that other woman? What was her name, Austin? What was her name? The one who was running, one who couldn't.
Campbell?
Campbell, whatever her name was. Well, Harris, she couldn't even finish a sentence. It's a lot better. It is a lot better.
Well, I can tell you right now, though, as much as you want to complain about that, RFK Jr. would have never been put in a place with
that's right.
Ever.
So what they do, they give you a little bit. It's a little bit for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And all of a sudden, take fluoride out of the water. Let's put it back in. Israel, number one distributor of fluoride to China in the world. They don't put it in their own water. They put it in our water. Yeah. It's unbelievable to me, Austin, that this is going on. And then Chuck Baldwin comes back in and he goes, he had another one. He said, what are the evangelicals really doing when they defend Israel? I'm going to let you guys read through this.
It's embarrassing. At this point and now, if you really truly call yourself a born-again believer, a Christ follower, and you're still continually defending everything they're doing and their behavior. I'm not saying you don't pray for countries. I'm not saying you can't stand there and say, I really hope that country gets their act together. But sitting there saying, we defend everything they do, it doesn't matter who they bomb, what Christian churches they bomb in Lebanon, what basically school children they bulldoze and kill over in, Beirut.
How many Christians they kill?
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. They have a right to do everything they want. They have a right to defend themselves. How defensive is going in and doing airstrikes on children's schools? Is there any
all those
honor
young
in that?
All those young girls.
There's
got
no
killed.
Honor in that. There's no defense in that. There's no military strategy in that. That's about going in and trying to do overwhelming superior firepower to a point that's so demoralizing the population they don't know what to do anymore as they realize they're dealing with straight Satanists.
Dresden.
Pure Satanists.
Dresden.
Going in and actively targeting children's schools. There is no redemption for that, in my opinion. Jesus is very clear on that. There is no, it's kind of their way of doing things. They get a pass. No, there is none of that. You take that one up if you don't understand that one. Take that one up with God. I'm going to switch some health topics because I got a lot of really good health articles I want to cover today. This is an interesting one. It says, can certain foods replace Ozempic? This is interesting. Fiber and protein, natural formulas to change in your diet without doing drugs. It says, essentially, prescription for these GLP-1 drugs have significant side effects, as you guys know now, as the multi-billion-dollar class action lawsuit has shown. And it says, essentially, the hormones that are released through GLP-1s naturally are found mostly, essentially, in the colon, and essentially respond to food intake. It slows digestion, regulates blood and sugar, and signals fullness in the brain. The problem is medications such as Ozempic and Wegovy mimic these L cells. They a lot of times have some serious problems that come along with them. They said, so what can you eat to change your basically burning your body fat and what can you put in your body. It says protein and fiber work through different pathways. Protein acts quickly. Amino acids such as leucine, glutamine, and arginine activate GLP-1 releasing cells directly in the gut, producing a fast and murky response. Fiber, soluble, fermented fiber, is broken down by gut bacteria into short-chain fatty acids, and which signals L cells to release GL1P over a longer time frame while feeding the microbe itself. So soluble fiber gets fermented by gut bacteria into short-chain fatty acids, and those compounds are thought to stimulate GL1 release naturally. The foods essentially work the best. It says essentially go for superfoods like prebiotic fibers and plant-rich foods that have a lot of colors. Dad talks about this all the time with vegetables. Here's the problem. Well, guys, this is a great context here, and it's talking about basically about different broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cabbage. I mean, he talks about cabbage. I love cabbage, especially if you make it properly. The problem with this is most people don't want to eat like this.
It's a German thing.
It is a German thing. But the problem is nobody wants to eat like this. Everybody wants to go to McDonald's, stuff their face with a 1,500-calorie Big Mac and a milkshake and fries, and then go take a shot of Wegovy. Oh, yeah, I'm losing weight now, and I still eat like a complete and total moron. The issue that occurs with this is that everybody starts having an enormous nutrient deficiency because your calorie intake goes down to some extent because you don't eat as much. All you're eating is GMO trash food that's causing enormous inflammation in your body. You're still seeing the effects of weight loss. You start utilizing muscle tissue as fuel. You burn fat and you burn muscle because you're not eating enough protein, and you start having an array of other health problems, but you're losing weight. So it gives you this false idea that you're healthy because you're dropping body fat, but in essence, you're actually making yourself sicker with the drug and eating more junk food, which is causing more inflammation in the body. This is the main problem with GLP-1 drugs.
You haven't seen anything yet. But see, again, it's the manipulation of the psyche.
Correct.
Every major news outlet is reporting how healthy these things are and how good they are. All of them.
Because they're going, and this one I want to bring up, they're going off this research is saying when you eat certain foods, your body through the L cells release GLP. So it's natural to take the shot.
No, it's not natural at all. No, let me read you this. This is from the book Propaganda by Bernays. Now remember, Bernays was the cousin of Sigmund Freud. This is propaganda that they're telling the GLPs. And what they did is he wanted to know how to manipulate the minds of people. Now Freud was a pervert, total complete sexual deviant pervert, cooked on cocaine. Pedophile, the whole bit.
A total pedophile.
No, people.
I mean, he's a sicko, dude.
Most people don't even talk about him anymore in colleges unless they're super, super liberal.
There's so much information about his behavior and his history that's online now. And why are we following this guy?
But remember, Edward Bernays, the father of advertising, basically mass marketing, was his cousin. And they were both Kabbalists. They were both Luciferians. They both worshiped the snake in the tree. They both wanted to kill humanity. They both hated everybody that wasn't part of their little Kabbalist race. Here's what Bernays said. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and the opinions of the masses is an important element. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is a true ruling power. We are governed, our minds are molded, and our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we've never heard of. This is the logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this matter, like this with those empires right here, if they are to live together as smoothly as a functioning society. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social context, our ethical thinking, we are dominated by a relatively small number of persons who understand the mental process, back to Freud again, and the social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind. That's why they force you on these GLPs.
Yep.
Oh, you're obese because of what we feed you.
Yes.
So now we're going to make money doing this and killing you. And you know, the crazy part about it is, didn't they do the same exact thing when it comes to COVID? Now, let me read this part of the article. The COVID bamboozle perfectly captures the willful ignorance of the vast majority of Americans, the insouciants, who refuse to accept the unequivocal fact that they were bamboozled by Fauci, Gates, Trump, Biden, and hundreds of other so-called bought-off experts. As a key element of their depopulation agenda, a fake pandemic with billion-dollar marketing campaign, 24/7 media fear, Austin, propaganda, never-ending lies about cases, deaths, and treatments, killing patients with remdesivir and ventilators while paying hospitals per death, suppressing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine because they worked, and forcing a toxic gene therapy, not a vaccine, to be injected into 2-3/4 of the population of the planet, billions, $5 billion into billions of guinea pigs across the world. Despite real scientific proof that shots killed people and will continue to kill people in the future, most of the jab prefer to remain bamboozled because the truth of their acquiescence to authority is too painful to confront. Willfully ignorant, they prefer to remain. Yesterday, I was talking to Sean, good friend of mine. He's a pastor. And I was asking him about the behavior of certain types of people and how unbelievably aggressive they are and how mean they are and how they're this and that. And he said something to me. He goes, well, the biggest problem, Ted, is when somebody knows that they're doing something that's wrong, they've got two things they can do. They can either repent or they can dig in and get mad.
That is true.
And I looked at him. I looked at him and I said, what'd you say? I said, I've never heard it put that way. And I looked at him. I said, you need to be a preacher. He's a great preacher.
He's spot on with that, though, because you really can't. If you get continually called out on it, you can't just stay in the middle.
Okay, now this is why. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not stepping on any toes. This is why sometimes with gay people, okay, they know what they're doing is contrary to the word of God, especially if they were trained that way. I don't care if you're Jewish or you're Christian or whatever you are. The Bible's very clear about this behavioral pattern. And you talk to them about it and you pray for them about it. But yet, if they see you, they'll start a fight with you on purpose. Why? Because they're internally convicted already about what they're doing. So they feel as though, well, I've got to dig in and get angry, show him what a man I am. And you're like, why don't you just repent? They don't want to repent because they've dug in. The Bible calls that a reprobate mind. It doesn't have to be gay. It could be anything. It could be drug use. It could be cigarette use. It could be alcohol use. It could be alcoholism. It could be everything. But they get defensive and they get mad because they have to dig in and prove they're right because they know they're wrong internally. When Sean said that to me, I thought, you know, he's right. In fact, I made him repeat it to me. I said, but we say that again. I've never thought about it that way. Well, but it's true.
That's why you saw such type of behavior during COVID over that, the death shot.
Yeah.
You saw people that did.
Why are you not wearing your mask?
That said, they have to dig in and they say, okay, this is just stupid. Not necessarily repent in that aspect, but instead of saying, this is dumb.
I get an elevator in Tallahassee during COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was up there for a football game. And all of a sudden, you know, the guy gets in the elevator with me, big old muscled up guy, all steroided out. And I'm in the elevator and I'm not wearing a mask. And he's probably in his 20s. He's a coach. And he says, I said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing okay until I got in this elevator where you without a mask on. And I looked at him. I said, let me tell you something, buddy.
It's Florida.
It's free state. We don't have to wear a mask. If you want to do that, that's your choice. I'm not going to do it. How about that? He didn't know what to do. He outweighed me 100 pounds. That's kind of crazy. You know, me, you know, but I was carrying my 45.
The context.
I had my Glock on me.
It was always so funny to me. That was like the craziest irony. And I'll get into this in a second. Give me 1 minute. Let me finish this thought. And then I'm going to go into here and building meals that send the right signals to burn body fat. But it was funny to me because you'd have people that were wearing a mask and that they'd get up and confront you and try to start an altercation and get close to you to prove that you needed to wear a mask. And I'm like, well, technically, if we're talking about the entire context is staying away from people to make sure you don't catch the virus wearing the mask, right? Why are you stopping and engaging me in a projected dialogue and now yelling and we're both yelling and spitting and pushing it in each other's face now because of a mask? Wouldn't the entire context in reality be, I'm not wearing a mask, but he's wearing a mask. We all just need to leave each other alone and stay apart. That was the crazy part to me.
I'm in Greenwise when it existed. And I'm not wearing a mask. And I'm by my, and some lady says to me with her husband in tow, a little simp, bless his heart. I felt horrible for him. She goes, why aren't you wearing a mask? And I said, because you know why? Because it's none of your business. How do you like that? Yeah. How about you keep your opinions to yourself? You wear your mask, leave me out of the loop. And I said, you can do what you want to do. I'll do what I want to do. It's Florida. And her husband's behind me going, yeah, you had with a little mask on. And he was so happy that I was talking to her. Now, I don't understand why some women get mean as crap like that when they get older. Well, actually, I do understand it. I'm not going to go on the show. And some guys do the same thing. They get really angry. And it's because they've compromised themselves so many times. They've got to do exactly what Sean did. They either got to dig in or they got to repent.
Well, one of the main things that happened, and it happened with men and women during COVID, if you saw it from a psychological standpoint, you had individuals that can't control their own life. Their lives suck most cases. Just be honest with you. They've made horrible decisions. They're doing what they don't want to do, living where they don't want to live. Their life sucks. And all of a sudden now, they had a level of authority. Now I get to tell you have to wear a mask.
A lot of cops are like that. I hate to say it, but it's true.
I know some great cops. I know some really, really, really scummer cops.
I know one that looks like a leprechaun.
Yeah. And so it happens that you had these people that all of a sudden they're wearing a mask and they're virtue signaling. And, well, now I'm wearing two masks. when I'm wearing three masks, I'm blue in the face, and I can't breathe, but now I get to tell you to wear yours. And it's like, dude, shut up. You're about to give yourself a heart attack from lack of oxygen. Just calm down, buddy. This is a you problem. You need to focus on you. But that was funny. Okay, let me tie back into this. This is a really good information. This is to build meals that send the right signals that naturally mimic the effects of what GLP-1 can do and what you can do to tie in supplements with it. It says a common guideline is to aim roughly for 20 to 30 grams of protein per meal. Perfect. Right there, that needs to be your baseline if you want to maintain muscle tissue. In practical terms, listen to this. A typical day might include a 3-egg organic omelet with fresh herbs topped with cooked cabbage, which is probably pretty good. Omelet with cabbage on it. Another one says lentil and vegetable soup with garlics and onions. Dinner can be wild-caught salmon with roasted broccoli and basically maybe some light rice. Type of eating pattern supports multiple safety pathways at once, slowing digestion, stabilizing glucose levels, preserving lean mass, and filling the gut with microbes that amplify GL1P signaling over time. Limit all ultra-processed foods to refined sugar, which are associated with reduced satiety and increased caloric intake. These foods digest too quick and do not provide the same sustained signals of fullness. Ultra-processed foods are typically low in protein, low in fiber, and digest very rapidly, causing blood sugar spike, followed by energy crashes that trigger more craving for hunger. On top of that, give me camera four. This is probably the best, the most effective supplement at maintaining blood glucose and mimicking the effects of what the GLP-1 drugs do with zero side effects. They did the research study that I went into detail on, going how berberine worked as good, if not better, than metformin in a clinical trial without any side effects. So you change your diet the way that I was giving the example from earlier, throw in the berberine, and you got yourself a body fat burning machine that's going to continue to shed fat, throw in cardio, throw in resistance weight training, and continue to keep your body stronger and keep the diet clean, and you will be shocked on how much better you feel, because at the end of the day, what you put into your body is what you're going to get out of your body. You can't put garbage in your body all day, throw in some drugs to try to offset it and go, well, I don't know why I don't feel good. I don't know why I'm having all these health problems. What you put in makes a difference. So you eat like I just showed you with the berberine, you burn fat, you'll stay lean, you'll have good energy. And on top of that, you'll actually feel really good and clear-headed. The brain fog from processed foods is very real. I just had the other day when I told you guys I got that food from that restaurant. It used to be a really good restaurant. Ended up having some chicken Alfredo that used to be really good, like handmade stuff there. And it was the most toxic sludge I put in my body. After I ate it, I'm like, I feel horrible. I felt horrible. Tired, foggy, stomach hurt. And I'm like, I don't feel like this ever. I could tell I basically poisoned my body. I took detoxificant, the bentonite clay, the GHI cleanse. And I will never go back to this restaurant after 15 years. They have completely compromised their quality. It's disappointing to
see.
Well,
the problem is that, you know, the restaurant got poached by a bunch of employees got taken
away. Well, you got to watch. A lot of restaurants have started to compromise their quality because of cost. They don't want to raise their menu prices, so they're trying to keep their material costs down, so they're dropping their quality of ingredients. But the problem with it is you're eating junkier and junkier and junkier food.
I got to read you this. This is funny.
What about berberine?
It's funny. No, it has nothing to do with berberine. Everybody's saying, I took berberine this morning. It's great. It burns. It does everything. It's an amazing product. I did it one day with the show on it. It does this, it does this, it does this. And yeah. Finally, I took it this morning already. I took a handful of vitamins already. Now, here's the thing. People say, yeah, do you really take all those vitamins every day? Yeah, actually, I do. It makes me feel great.
You stagger them, though. You don't take all of them all at one time a day. You break them down. I just take three different sets.
It's receptor sites.
Correct. Yeah.
See, the problem is your body only has so many receptor sites in the intestinal tract. And if you overwhelm it, it can't digest them because it can't absorb them. So you need to break them up throughout the day. I take them twice a day, sometimes three times a day. I break them up. And I tell you what, it makes a big difference. It really does.
But I got, all right, what's your bubble gum?
I'm over here like this, but this is a bubble gum. But this is funny the way they said this.
Okay,
this
let's hear.
I'm posting this again from the Burning Platform. We are currently experiencing the biggest bamboozle of them all, Trump's presidency. His Make America's Great shtick convinced millions to vote for him, but a huge chunk voted for him because his 75 IQ, cackling hyena whore of an opponent was absolutely unacceptable alternative.
Even to the liberals?
No, because this happened with Hillary in 2016. Virtually everything he promised to do turned out to be a lie. His extreme narcissism was perfectly described by Sam Vakin in a quote. He says Trump stated how little he cares about the financial plight of the average American. Here's the exact quote. "I don't think about Americans' financial situation. I don't think about anybody." Donald Trump. That's a great quote.
That's a great quote, beyond God.
Listen, that's why I was laughing a second ago. Trump was going to end the Ukraine war in a week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's still going on. He was going to keep us out of the Middle East wars. He was going to reduce the deficit. Doge was going to reduce government waste and save trillions. Gas was going to be $2 a gallon. Tariffs were going to restore manufacturing to the America. He was going to release all the Epstein files. He was going to deport all the illegal invaders. He was going to prosecute all his enemies who stole the 2020 election and prosecute and persecute the January Sixers. He was going to make future elections safe and fraud-free. Everyone was going to get Doge checks, and everyone was going to get tariffs checks. That's what he said. He's right. In a crystal clear to anyone with two brain cells, Trump has failed to deliver any of these campaign promises. The country is clearly bamboozled by the MAGA NPC's reject of all evidence of the bamboozle. They are captured, unwilling to recognize they were lied to. This is, again, national. This is the advertising we talked about earlier with Bernays. It's too painful to those who saw Trump as some sort of savior to admit they were wrong. The older I get, the less sure I'm about what is happening in the world and who's responsible for the insanity. When every conspiracy theory comes true, I am now inclined to believe the worst scenario in every stage situation presented to the public by our overlords. Was Trump in on the bamboozle from the get-go, or did something or someone convince him that it was in his best interest to follow orders and set in motion the downfall of an empire? I'm going to let you guys read this. I'm going to post it again. It's from the Burning Platform. It's one of the best articles I've ever read. You don't hear me say that very often. I try not to use hyperbole like that very often because it doesn't have any effect if I do it all the time. It's called Bamboozled Once Again. Read it. One of the best I've ever seen. I've posted it twice now. You guys will find it humorous in some cases and absolutely horrible in some other cases. What's your next story, Austin?
You're spot on that. And that was the biggest problem to me as far as when, you know, he talked about what they were going to do in Afghanistan, or not in Afghanistan, basically with Ukraine. And it's funny because, like, all the defense contractors I know, they all started laughing. They're like, you know, there always has to be a major conflict in the United States. If you understood this, there always has to be a major conflict from the United States standpoint that we can traffic weapons through and feed them to different countries. It's just part of the military-industrial complex. Like it, hate it, whatever you want to say, it's just the way it is. Jim Rohn said, it's just the way it is. That's why the Ukraine war is never going to spool down until we have another major conflict to run weapons through. This is an article that just popped up the other day, and it's funny to me. I laughed when I saw it because everybody's like, oh, my gosh, did you see this? And I'm like, dude, I knew this back when this happened. Like, I knew guys that were dealing with this when it happened. U.S. weapons in Afghanistan sold to militant groups now across the entire world.
We reported this 4 years ago, bud.
Half a million weapons have been obtained by the Taliban in Afghanistan, have been sold and smuggled to militant groups across the entire globe. Taliban took control of around a million weapons and pieces of military equipment, which were funded by the U.S. when regained control of Afghanistan in 2021. All the way from 50-plus thousand belt-fed automatic machine guns to Black Hawk helicopters that they're still trying to figure out how to maintain, and a whole host of other weapon systems.
when they throw a bunch of sand into the intakes,
it's kind of hard.
Misty the engine.
You know, but the thing about it is, you know, when you look at a lot of this stuff, I mean, we let them 22,000 armored Humvees and over 8,000 MRAPs. The mind, you get boggled by this stuff and you go, we don't know why it happened. You got to have a country to run weapons through. And that's what Ukraine's constantly been, unfortunately. And a lot of the young men there have been used as fodder in this conflict. But again, this is why the war in Ukraine's not going to end until there's another conflict for us to jump in and run these weapons through and cycle them through. It's just the way the world works with war. Love it, hate it, it's horrible, but that's what it is. So I knew it wasn't going to happen with that conflict. Just like this whole thing with Iran isn't going to spool down tomorrow. They've been using it. And my gosh, it hasn't been insider trader. I talked to a friend about it the other day, and they're like, dude, you do understand, like, Trump is making all of his friends billions of dollars in the stock market. They already know what he's going to say the next day. That's why the market goes up and down based on whatever he says in a press conference. That's why every day he changes what he says. Oh,
We're finishing up with Iran. Everybody shorts oil. Oil goes down to $15 a barrel. Next day, we're going to war with Iran again. We're going to bomb them into oblivion. And 48 hours of civilization will cease to exist. Put a timer clock on. Put a timer clock on. In 48 hours, we're bombing them to oblivion. Oil goes to the roof. It goes $110, $120 a barrel. All everybody makes a little money. 47 hours. Well, we've already negotiated. We're not going to bomb the civilians. We're not going to bomb into oblivion anymore. We're not going to do it. 2 days later, we're bombing them again. Oil goes back up. If you watch the markets, it literally goes on what he says. And all of his friends are, there's reports on it now. They're on a blast. This is great. This is great. We know what to do. Each day we're told whether to short it or long it. It's insane to me right now. And it's a giant clown show. That's why I don't take it very seriously. Now, one thing I did want to cover to all my listeners that are in Central Florida, the topic, I'm going to show you why what's escalating on this here. Facing intense opposition, developer voluntarily ends data center quest in Lakeland. This is a theater article.
They're going to lawyer up.
So what happened was, I told you guys, I put a massive data center like 20 miles down the road from our house. It's got an enormous amount of public scrutiny before it's even gone into planning phase. It hasn't even gone into development. It hasn't even gotten approval yet. This right here, this is called psychological theater, giving the opposition a perceived win.
We had the same thing happen with the mini warehouses.
They're going to say here, facing intense opposition, developer voluntarily ends data center quest.
No,
they withdrew the quest for the permit yesterday, the day before they're having a closed meeting session with the county. The reason why they're doing this is they're going to restructure their engagement now. They put it out there, the feelers, to see what the public was going to do. And quite frankly, the public opposition was insane. Good reason. We won't stop. It's not going to stop here, though. The fight's just beginning. The company that's pushing this, I told you guys, is Blackbird LLC, which has been involved with over 20 other companies in Florida, which is designed to go in and blitzkrieg counties. This is what they do. They did it with a golf course up in West Florida. I found this out. Nobody in the community wanted a golf course. Suddenly, they bought contiguous pieces of property. They restructured it. They rezoned it. They pushed it. The city denied it. They went in and basically sued the city and won for the golf course permit. This is Blackbird LLC. This is their structure. Blackbird Development, Land Services. I want to say a variety of investments and perspectives on how to deploy capital for data centers. Strategic Data Center Development Delivering Investment Partners. This is who's funding the data center in Lakeland. And right here, land weaponization. This is on their website. This is their strategy. Land weaponization is Blackbird's proprietary integrated system intended to transform raw and underpositioned land into hyperscale-ready investment-grade data center assessments.
Assets
document and organize site control, incentive, zoning, environment, geotechnical, flood, wetland, storm, water, wastewater. The list goes on. Site with complete diligence, clear and actionable information, and cohort story ready for market consumption. Did you just read what I read?
Who are these people?
This is Blackbird. They're a subsidiary of BlackRock. Blackbird's funding the data center in Lakeland.
What this is bloodline families.
The result.
Peasants.
A site with completed diligence, clear and actual information, and a coherent story ready for market consumption. They're putting together a theater story to tell the masses why you need a data center and how much you're going to love it. And it's going to help you. Well, it's going to bring money.
Well, there's other things, too. Remember, county commission hearings and basically county commission elections are going to be in a few months. Maybe they got to get a couple of people off the board.
That's true. They got to find out who they got to lobby. Yeah. They got to throw some money at it. This is a giant nightmare. They got wetlands and flood. They even have aspects on how to get around permitting now because of the Authorization Act.
You need to post this.
I am. When I found these guys, I found out Blackbird and what they do, and I found out they were the ones behind this. I started digging into them. And, I mean, this is literally one of their top key things is land weaponization. Just the name of it.
Who talks like that?
BlackRock. Subsidiary. Blackbird. I mean, these guys, what they do, they want to push this stuff through. So again,
land weaponization?
The website. This is a bullet point on their site. And people go, oh, they won. They withdrew.
Once this gets out there, now that we just released it like this, they're going to pull this down because everyone's going to show up at the meeting
I'm going to print this. I'm going to print this and bring it to the meeting when they bring this back. They're not going to stop, by the way. They're going to come back to the city commissioner meeting. They're going to try to pocket them. This is a topic, though. You put this on a doggone PowerPoint presentation in front of 1,000 people, all of a sudden everybody's going to be like,
Why do you need to do land weaponization if the data center is great for the community?
Unbelievable.
Okay. Anyways, I digress on that. Want to show everybody this. I will keep you apprised to it. I will post on the site because, quite frankly, this is not the only thing they've been doing in Florida. They do this all over the country now. Big, big money from BlackRock down into Blackbird that is funding these data centers. I wondered where they're getting it from. I finally dug deep enough, and I flipped off enough stones, and I took off enough tiny hats, and I finally found them out of the bottom of the mud pile, cockroaching, sucking scum that these guys are. Excuse my attitude on this. It just irritates me when I see stuff like this going let's, after our communities.
Let's talk about a more positive subject. Let's talk about Ebola.
God, Ebola. Ebola. Hemorrhagic fever.
Better than this. This is a terrible topic.
Gosh, Wednesday. I'm sorry.
The Ebola outbreak likely far worse than what this is, by the way. This is a total lie, by the way. This is probably because they injected him with Ebola. Far worse, if this even any of it's true, than what officials report as cases grow to over 1,000 in multiple countries. You know, let me tell you something. This is a I can't use the word. This is YouTube. The dejection they tried to force on everybody 6 years ago, this is part two, you know? And here we are. You know, it's part of it, I guess. I mean, the other one didn't work. The Hantavirus, that one didn't work because nobody believed that one. So now, Ebola, like we talked about yesterday, has been drained into the population. Remember this.
Focus on your immune system.
You keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. That's what you remember. You remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And you remember that this is the day the Lord hath made, you know, and we will be glad and be happy in it. Even if data centers show up, we're going to fight it.
Thing, man. In most cases, there's always solutions to problems the best you can. Mm-hmm. And you got to try to find them. And the thing about this is with your immune system, stay on the D3. Stay on the zinc, stay on the vitamin C, run your vitamin C every single day, and live your life. You can't stay in a perpetual state of fear, but I will tell you this. If a fight does arise, you can't be scared and you can't back down of it. Push back on it. This isn't a joke what they're doing to our communities. These are going to have long-lasting effects from aspects of psychological, for these development centers, what they're going to be doing to people's minds and bodies with all this energy systems. And on top of that, the ecological impact long-term this is going to do to our great state is horrendous that nobody wants to touch that topic at all.
I kind of like our current hologram. I don't want them to change it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Hey, I love you guys. Also, finish it up.
I'll close it up. You guys continue to stay strong on here. Let me know if you need anything. You email us. I try to keep everything updated. I keep getting emails. I guess you guys aren't watching the show. The HGH Stimulate will be getting back in stock next week. All the back orders are already prepped and primed, ready to go. You're at the top of the list. I apologize for the delay on it. We had a raw that we basically had to reject on one of the things, and we switched over to the 5-MTHF. There's no more folic in it. It's now 5-methyl tetrahydrate, which is the bioavailable version of folate, and it's a really, really good formula. It's a better formula, so I've been trying to make sure it was done, but it's done properly. I will expedite everything the best I can as far as when I'm processing and building and contracting a supplement, but I will not expedite to the point that I compromise my quality because I take the product too. I mean, I use it every single day. I constantly use it. It's great for blood circulation. It's great for blood pressure as far as for myself. Keep some blood pressure in check because I tend to be a bit hyper-wound half the time, and I got to have something to keep me calm down because I'm either hollering or yelling or fighting or working out or trying to fix something. And so that's pretty much my day. So HGH Stimulate, yes, I know. I run the product too. Apologize again for the delay, but it will be back very shortly. And you guys are all prioritized to have back orders. You are at the top of the list to have it out immediately. If you guys need anything else, give us a call. Health Masters at 1-800-726-1834. We do answer the phone. However, sometimes we get deluged with calls. So be patient. If we have you guys on hold for a minute, I can't help that. It's just what it is. I don't have a giant data center to hold all your calls. It's not AI. It's real people. I'm doing the best I can not to integrate AI heavily in these systems because I want to still have connection with my customers. I'm doing that for you guys. So thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting the truth out there. Ted had to run real quick. He had an appointment he had to get to. So I'm closing up for you, my friends. Have a fantastic evening. D3 is finalized. You guys voted, and the Magnesium Brain Food won product of the week by a doggone landslide. I mean, it wasn't even a contest. What a contest. This just ran through. So be sure to check that out. That will be going on sale later on this afternoon. Magnesium Brain Food is product of the week, one of your favorite products. You guys keep your heart strong, keep your mind strong, keep your body strong, and we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always, my friends. Have a fantastic evening.